All right, Mark chapter 7, if you're not there, Mark chapter 7, it's on the screen. You'll want to follow along in your Bible. The words of God are powerful and able to tell us who we are, able to tell us who God is. They are able to bring to life. So Mark chapter 7, our theme tonight is about it's what's inside that counts. That's kind of our theme tonight. And I thought, when I hear that, I think about chocolates. Have you ever had chocolates? It's like the go-to gift to give to somebody on Valentine's Day. So like middle school guys, if there's that girl you like later this year, you'll get her those. But let me tell you this, they're not going to like it. Chocolate is awesome, right? Oh, chocolate is amazing. But some people have figured out how to ruin chocolate, and it's called the box of chocolates. Because if you've ever had a box of chocolates, like Forrest Gump, he knows, like, you never know what you're going to get. Like, you're going to get something that's totally amazing, or you're going to get toothpaste. Like, you have no idea what's going to be inside of those things. Until you bite it, until you chew on it and then spit it out because it's super gross and not peanut butter, right? Tonight, our lesson is that Jesus is telling us it's what's inside of our hearts that really counts, okay? So stand with me. We'll read Mark chapter 7, verse 18 through 23. Mark 7, verse 18 through 23. And he, so Jesus, is the one speaking in verse 18. He said to them, to his disciples, "Are you also as lacking in understanding? Don't you realize that nothing going into a person from the outside can defile him? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into the stomach, and is eliminated. Thus Jesus declared all foods clean." Verse 20. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a person." Let's pray. Father, as you speak, would you help us to listen? Spirit of God, would you illuminate us so that we can hear what you say and apply what you say to our lives? We love to hear the voice of our loving Father, and thank you for the privilege of hearing your word tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You guys be seated. We have been reading through and studying the book of Mark for a long time now on Wednesday nights. We will finish the book of Mark in May, so we have about 9 chapters to go. So I want to give you a little bit of review because we're going to skim over the very beginning of chapter 7 and really kind of narrow in on the passage that we just read. But I want to give you a review of what happened in the beginning. So in verses 1 through 17, there's this event that happens, okay? So in verse 1, it says that some Pharisees, they were some very religious people, came from Jerusalem to challenge Jesus. And I don't know about you, but every time I've saw Jesus in a challenge, he wins that, so it's not a good idea to challenge him. But they asked Jesus, "Hey Jesus, why don't your disciples keep the Jewish tradition of washing your hands before they eat?" And they were really, what they were saying was, "Jesus, we follow a lot of rules and your disciples aren't following the rules." Okay? It's like they were saying, "He's not following the rules, but we do." That was how it was in the original language. But anyway, Jesus responds to them by saying, "You guys are just crooked. Like, you're supposed to be the religious leaders, but your hearts are far from God." And I just love how he calls them out in those verses. And then Jesus says, "You guys are really good at keeping man-made rules, but what God wants is what's inside. He wants your heart to love him." And in verse 18 through 23 that we just read, we see Jesus warn us that we must examine our hearts. So the first part of my sermon is called food, okay? And it's kind of based out of verse 18 through 19. I'll read those verses again. Verse 18, he said to them, are you also, so he's talking to his disciples, are you also as lacking in understanding? His disciples had kind of pulled Jesus aside and said, like, hey, what's going on? Why did you call out the religious people, the Pharisees? Because we respect them. And why did you call them out? And Jesus said, do you not understand either? He said, don't you realize that nothing going into a person from the inside can defile him? The Pharisees were hung up on, if you eat different kinds of food, it will defile your heart. And then in verse 19, he says, for it doesn't go into his heart, but into the stomach and is eliminated. And thus he declared all foods clean. So nothing that goes into a person can defile the person. So he's being challenged by these religious rule keepers. They're proud of their ability to keep rules. And Jesus, the good shepherd, warns them. He says, it's not about you following rules. It's about your heart. He says, nothing that goes into you can defile you. He's talking about food. He's saying no food that you go that you eat is going to defile your heart. Okay? And he's talking about spiritual heart. He's not talking about like your boop, boop, boop heart, right? We know that. We know that food can affect your physical heart, right? If you eat like Burger King every day, every single meal, like you eat fast food, you're going to have fast life. Like you're going to die really early. Like it does affect your heart, right? But Jesus is talking about your spiritual heart, okay? If you were here Sunday, you remember we talked about like what is your heart. Does anybody remember before we throw it up on the screen, what is your heart? What's your spiritual heart? Anybody remember? Okay, we'll put it up on the screen. Okay, your heart is your desires. It's your passions. It's your feelings. It's the deepest part of who you are. And what Jesus is saying is to these religious rule keepers, the food you eat is not going to affect you in that way. Nothing that goes into you is going to affect you, your heart, okay? And then he says, it says that it goes not into your heart, but into your stomach and is eliminated. So he's saying like your food goes in, goes through your digestive system, and Jesus, the Lord, says, and then you poop it out, right? And now you can finally say, like, I've heard a sermon about poop, because like that's pretty cool. Like when I was in middle school, that was like the coolest thing ever, was to learn that Jesus talks about poop a little bit. So he is saying that the food doesn't affect your heart. It affects your spiritual heart, but it can't affect your heart, okay? I don't know for sure. Some of you guys have some blank looks on your faces. Like, what is he talking about? I asked Gabe. Gabe's going to help me. Gabe, you guys clap for Gabe. Gabe's going to come up here. Will you guys clap for Gabe like you love him? Like, that was weak. Yeah. So Gabe, I asked him to help me to illustrate this idea of food not defiling you. Mary, you've got the thing for me. Will you give me the whole box? All right. Thank you. So in my box, I've got a few things. Let's do this. Mysterious Amazon box. What's this? Like 45 answers. What's this? This is pudding. This is a snack pack. Like, if Gabe eats this, oh gosh. Will you hold that? If Gabe takes a bite of this, is this going to defile him? Take a bite, Gabe. Will this defile Gabe's heart, his spiritual heart? Will it be defiled? Nope. What Jesus is saying is the food that you eat, it might go into like this area, but it's not going to defile him deep down. And even, you know, it just can't. It's a pudding pack, right? Like, it's so true that like even if I put some Texas Pete in there, is this going to defile Gabe if I put Texas Pete in the pudding pack? Like, it's not going to defile him. It's just food, right? Do you guys believe that this is not going to defile Gabe? Gabe, show them that this won't even defile you. See, this is He made it, right? I got some more stuff in my box, though. I want to prove this to you, that what you eat can't defile your heart. I want to prove Jesus' point that even if you were put some honey mustard coops in there. Oh! Just the runnies. Even if he takes a bite of that, is that going to defile him? Let's, Gabe, will you do me a favor? Prove to them that this will not defile you. Is it going to defile his heart? No. Yeah. So what Jesus, do you guys feel like you understand what Jesus means? Does anybody feel like maybe you don't know what he means? I'll just help you. I got one more example. So, like, some Country Bob's all-purpose steak sauce is not going to defile Gabe. It says it's good on everything. But, Gabe, will you show him it's not going to defile you even if... Gabe. Oh, that was a little bite, yeah. It didn't defile them. It didn't defile him, though, did he? He's eaten it. He's a stud. You guys clap for Gabe. He's a stud here. Yeah. So, yeah, we might need to clean up the floor. Hold on, just a sec. So what happened there? Gabe did not get defiled, even though he ate some pretty defiling, gross pudding pack, and Gabe, thank you, you were a good sport, but that didn't defile him. And what Jesus is saying is, pay attention to this, pay attention. Jesus is saying, your spiritual heart is important. It's good that you are on guard. He's telling these Pharisees, it's good that you're on guard, but don't worry about the food. Like, when you're worried about the food, you're worried about the wrong enemy. You know, Jesus says elsewhere in Scripture, in Proverbs chapter 4, maybe you've heard this verse before, in Proverbs 4, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Guard your heart above all else, for it's the source of life. And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, if there's one good thing about them, it's that they know they need to protect their heart. And Jesus is saying to them, you're looking for the wrong kind of enemy. You're looking for enemies in the wrong places. It's not the food, it's the people that you allow in your life. It's the shows that you watch. It's the music you listen to. It's the friends and the influences in your life that can find their way to influence your heart. You guys know I have 3 children. I have Daniel, who's 6. I have Nora and Emily, who are both 3. They're awesome. I was playing, anybody ever played hide and seek before? Best game ever. I was playing hide-and-seek with Nora and Emily the other day, okay, and it was my turn to be the finder. So the finder, you know, closes your eyes, counts. So I closed my eyes and counted, and the girls were supposed to go hide, right? And I go, 1, 2, 3, 4, ready or not, here I come. And I open my eyes, and guess what? Emily is sitting on the couch right in front of me with a pillow, like, over her face, like this. Like, we have a picture. Do we have the picture? This is it. I love it. It is so cute. But at the same time, like, she's awful at hide and seek, right? Because it's very obvious. You're right there. And what she didn't realize is, you know, she's thinking, Daddy can't see my face, but in reality, I can see everything else, and I can come and get her and, you know, win the game of hide and seek or whatever. And what Jesus is saying, What Jesus is saying is, don't worry just about the food you eat and the outside rituals. He's saying, you need to worry about your heart, but you need to be concerned not just about external routines that you do. You need to be on guard against all kinds of other attacks, okay? So Jesus talks about food, and then he talks about the enemy within. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20 with me. In verse 20, he talks about the enemy within. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of people's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, theft, murder, adultery, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a person. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples and what he's saying about these Pharisees, he's saying it is so much easier to act the part than to love God with all of your heart. It's so much easier to act a certain way and fool everyone. It's so much harder than that to love God with all of your heart. Like, it's easy to put on an act when you're in here. It's easy to put on an act when you're around your parents. It's so much harder to love God with all of your heart. That's why we see Christians who fail morally all of the time. Because it's so easy to just act like, yeah, everything's awesome in my life, doing everything great, and everyone else believes you, even though you're totally lying, even though you may be struggling with some deep sin or some deep struggle. You don't share that. Nobody else knows, and you're fooling everyone except for God. You know, God sees deep down in your heart. God knows all of those struggles that you're going through. You can't fool God. God alone sees our hearts. Jesus has some sort of secret spiritual X-ray vision where he sees what's truly going on in your heart. And you would say, well, you know, I know what's going on in my heart, but you don't. Like, we can kind of see what's going on in our heart, but we even ourselves are partially blind to what's going on in our hearts. That's why someone can be actively engaged in some sinful habit or behavior and still think like, yeah, God's all right with me. I'm good with God, even though you're actively engaged in some sinful behavior. I want to make you think about it this way. What's this?
A phone.
This is a phone, right? Imagine that you got a virus on your phone, okay? This isn't really going to happen, but if you got a virus on your phone that caused it to send like weird text messages to people, okay? Or it also would cause your phone to ring in the middle of class, like every day in the middle of class. Ring, 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 ring. Your phone's going off, or whatever your ringtone is. What's a cool ringtone now? Oh, gosh. Okay. And imagine also that your phone kept deleting your contacts. So you have nobody's contact information. It kept deleting your apps. You know, how crazy would it be if your solution was, you know what, my phone's been doing all these crazy things. I think I'm going to get a new phone case. Right? Is that going to solve the issue? What's the issue? The virus. The virus inside your phone is the issue. The virus is what must be dealt with. And that's the same that's true for humans. You know, we act a way that we're not designed to act. Every time that we sin, every time that we have these evil desires in our heart, we're not acting the way that God designed us. We do the wrong things. We say what we shouldn't. And every time we do that, we're going against the way God intended. And how silly, how crazy would it be for you to say, you know what? I've got all this stuff going on inside of me, all these evil desires. I think I need to get some new clothes. Or I think I need to start doing some more religious things. Like, that's not going to fix the inside thing. You need to deal with what's inside. I love that Jesus says, all these things are inside your heart. Like, all that evil comes from what's already inside your heart. And you may be saying to me, you may be thinking, I'm not that bad. You know, I'm pretty good. I don't have all of that evil. And I will give you a challenge. If you think that's you, do one of these two things. Either go 2 days with no sleep, or go 1 day with no food. And come and tell me how that goes. Like, you don't want to be around me after I haven't had sleep for a few days, or after when I get hangry after not eating for a while. You don't want, when you get around me in those situations, what you get is not the nice, polite, "Hey, how you doing? Hope you're doing great. Bless the Lord." You're getting, "What are you doing interrupting me?" You're getting, "It's about me, Jacob." That's the version of Jacob that you get. You get the Jacob that is not as caring about you. And that didn't come from some food I ate. That was already in my heart. And that's a picture that is of who I would be without the grace of God to help me and to grow me. And that's not saying, that's not like me 20 years ago. That was me like in July. That was me like the day we went to the ark and I hadn't slept for like forever. And I'm just like, "Leave me alone, everyone." Like I was just exhausted. And that's what's true of you. That's what Jesus is saying about your heart, is that you have all these evil desires in you. And Jesus is saying it's crazy for you to try to keep rules instead of loving God with your heart, instead of being honest to God about your heart, okay? So we're all defiled by sin. We are all at the deepest level. We know we're defiled. Like, you might be able to fool everyone in here, but when you go home tonight, you're alone, you know you've got to deal with that you have sin in your heart. And you just have those voices. Like, do you ever hear the voices that just come to condemn you and say, "Man, you're so horrible"? Even as a Christian, sometimes we have, like, Satan will come and tempt us to not believe. But the truth is that we need to be reminded ourselves of is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus' blood speaks a better word about us. You think about Adam and Eve. Remember Adam and Eve, what they did in Genesis 3, the first sin? What did they do? They took from the forbidden tree, right? And they ate of the fruit, right? But what we know is true is that before their teeth ever bit into that fruit, they had already sinned against God. Their evil hearts had evil desires that were already against God. And we have all inherited that desire to do our own thing. Okay? And we know from the Bible that the wages of sin is what? Death. That we're all going to be separated from God unless God intervenes, unless someone pays for what we've done. And the good news of the gospel, if you're a Christian, this is a remember this for you. The good news of the gospel is that God has died in your place, that God has taken the punishment for what you have done, not because of how awesome you are, not because of how many rules you could keep, but because of his deep, deep love for you. His love that is so unfathomable, so unimaginable, you could never get your mind around it. That's what motivated him to die in your place. But not only to die for you, but to give you his righteousness. That we believe as Christians that Jesus lived a perfect life in our place, and he said on the cross, "You take my righteousness, and I'll take your evil, and I'll die for you." Jesus is the only way that our evil hearts can be made clean. So tonight, if that's the first time you've heard that, or the first time you've ever heard that and said, "That's what I want," if you've never become a Christian, you can pray. You can become a Christian right now. You can go home and pray. But I have a prayer that'll be on the screen, that, and we'll just kind of all look at it. I'll say it out loud, but I want you to pray this prayer, okay? And then I'll talk to you Christians. But here's a prayer for you. Say, "Jesus, I'm a lost sinner. I'm far from God. Forgive me. I trust in you and what you did for me on the cross. Be my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to you, Jesus. Amen." And if that's you, you did that, you need to tell someone. You need to text me, text somebody here, text one of the leaders and say, "That's what I did. That's what I want to do. I have questions. Help me figure that out." Okay? If you're here and you're a Christian, you know you're a Christian, but you need to be forgiven, you need to be cleansed, you need to ask God to help you with those evil desires, the struggle in your heart, I want to remind you of some good news. The good news is if you're in Christ, your heart is like a container of OxyClean. You know what OxyClean is? It's that stuff that, like, you put it in there and it just makes everything super clean, right? Your heart is like a container of that, not because of how good you are and how good you are at keeping rules, but because it says in the Bible, if you're a Christian, God's Spirit lives in you and that nothing can corrupt you eternally anymore. And so when sin comes in your heart, it doesn't stand a chance not because you're awesome now and you've got it together, but because God's Spirit lives in you. And I want to remind you of that, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that was a big power, that power dwells in you, and it teaches you to say no to sin and yes to God. That's in you. But that doesn't mean you don't need to repent. Okay? So if you're here, you're a Christian, I want to lead us in a prayer in just a moment of just asking God to forgive us. And I want to challenge you, if you're here, you're a Christian, I want to challenge you to ask God to give you a faith to believe in His power, that His power is greater than the power of the world. Okay? Let's pray. And this will be on the screen. If you want to pray this along with me silently, I'll read it aloud for us. Okay? Maybe it's not on the screen. Is it on the screen? Okay, you just listen then. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, you pray this with me. If you're a Christian, you pray this with me. Jesus, thank you that you are powerful enough to cleanse us from all sin. Your blood covers all our sin. You take away our sin. Jesus, we've failed you. I have failed you. And Jesus, forgive me. Have mercy on me. And I repent of my sin. Jesus, my heart still has evil desires. Help me to believe that your power is greater than my sin. Cleanse me. I commit my life anew to you, Jesus. Help me to love you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.